This edition of Profile is presented by Becky Milligan.
We import 2/3 of our cheese. That is a disgrace.
From this to this.
We've got very serious issues in our prisons with the levels of violence. What I'm doing about that is, first of all, cracking down on drugs and mobile phones. We've introduced new testing for psychoactive substances, which we've rolled out across the prison estate.
The Justice Secretary and Lord Chancellor Liz Truss's rise has been rapid. It's been a bit of a bumpy ride. The current prison crisis is testing her mettle.
Senior legal figures saying you are out of your depth, are you?
Well, I am getting to sorting out this problem.
The big test, when it came, she failed.
An untypical Tory who switched political sides, has broken a few records, been at the centre of a scandal, and doesn't shy from a good old political dust-up. This week, we profile Liz Truss.
She quite enjoys to fight. She's a very thick-skinned person, someone who revels in a bit of combativeness.
She was born in 1975, brought up in Scotland and Leeds, went to state school. Her parents were both left-wing, her mother a teacher, her father a maths professor. She's the eldest with three brothers. Here's the youngest, Francis.
You know, he'd come home from school, we'd do music practice every night because my dad's a very keen musician, and that was sort of enforced a bit. And also, you didn't sit around talking about the latest Mega Drive game at the dinner table. It was much more issues, local campaigns, etc. And also, you know, my dad's very passionate about maths, so there was some maths chat.
Board games were a favourite in their household.
Cluedo, Monopoly, I think my dad would say she cheated to win. She was someone who had to win. She'd create some special system to work out how she could win. And then if she was losing, she might sort of disappear rather than lose.
What would happen if she did lose?
She'd be annoyed.
I got involved in politics actually through my mum, who was a member of the CND and used to take me on CND marches.
Age just 7, her mum took her to Greenham Common. Her brother Francis says she was always sure of herself.
She was a vegetarian for a while. She's a very opinionated person in terms of what she wants. When you go to a restaurant, you might be 14, but she was precocious about what she wanted, what she didn't want. A bit less of a apologiser. When you step on someone else's toe and you say sorry, that's not really Liz, which is in some ways a good thing because, you know, she's more assertive, I think.
She was at school when she joined the Liberal Democrats. But at university, she read philosophy, politics and economics at Oxford, her interest became much more serious and she was president of the university's Lib Dems.
I first met Liz Truss in the junior common room of Merton College in December 1992. And I remember we had a very deep discussion about the German currency and also the Swiss referendum on whether Switzerland should join the European community, as it then was.
Alan Rennick was also a Lib Dem.
Liz had a very strong kind of radical liberal streak to her. We were setting up the Freshers' Fair stall. Liz was there with a pile of posters saying, "Free the weed." And she just wanted the whole stall to be covered with these posters saying, "Free the weed." So I was kind of scurrying around after Liz, trying to take these down again and put up a variety of different messages rather than just having this one message all over the stall.
And did she put them back up again?
Oh, she was determined, yeah. Very keen that we should be fighting the cause.
He recalls one particular Lib Dem conference well, in 1994.
There was a speech I remember when she vehemently argued against the monarchy in favour of abolishing the monarchy.
An idea not appreciated by everyone in her party.
I remember one older campaigner, and she said to the anti-monarchy campaigners, she said, "Just have a bit of nous. Have a bit of a political sense of whether this is going to help the cause of the party as a whole or not." So that was slapped down fairly firmly, I think.
At university, Liz Truss said she'd never met Tories of her own age before, which was an eye-opener. Her politics began to shift to the right. After graduating, she worked for Shell as a commercial manager and at Cable and Wireless as economics director and qualified as a management accountant. She also joined the Conservative Party, much to the horror of her parents. Here's her brother Francis again.
Culturally, they're not conservative. It is a bit different when she first did it, definitely.
What happened?
They were a bit sort of shocked. Some robust arguments about the Tories as a group.
And does your sister try and put them right on that, to try and sort of explain what it's really about?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Basically, it normally ends up with they were willing to hear any more because she'll just keep going.
Later, Alan Rennick would ask her about her defection.
I asked her why she had become a Conservative, and particularly whether she still held to those anti-monarchist views of old. And she simply said that those sorts of issues were no longer what were most important to her. And she now was mainly focused on the economy. And she'd been working in the private sector for several years by then, and developing more private sector ways of working within the public sector was the way to strengthen the economy of the country.
Within an hour of being selected, journalists started contacting the local party saying, do you know about this affair that she had with a married MP 5 years ago? And they didn't.
It was her private life which nearly thwarted her ambition to be a Conservative MP. In 2009, now married, she'd been selected in southwest Norfolk, but had failed to mention a widely publicised affair she'd had with the Conservative MP Mark Field. It caused a storm.
That's left many members here feeling rather let down, feeling rather angry, and feeling that perhaps they've been hoodwinked into accepting an A-list candidate.
The local party threatened to deselect her. Party bigwigs weighed in to defend her, including the Tory leader.
I very much hope they can just get on with this selection that they've made and give her the support that she deserves and make sure that she is elected as the next Member of Parliament for South West Norfolk.
Her brother Francis.
I went to Swaffham the evening that she got selected. She was quite focused on it. In no point was she upset or blaming anyone else. I think she's quite good at actually just getting on with it.
She was by now working at the centre-right think tank Reform. Andrew Haldenby is the director and a friend of Liz Truss.
I've no doubt that she was shaken by it. In a way, I think that may have been Liz's moment. And actually, in a funny way, it's not a bad thing to have happened, because I think it's good experience. It probably toughens that person up, and she was able to rise above it. I think she approached that a bit like a sort of military campaign in a way.
Anne McElvoy is a senior editor at The Economist.
She was determined that she was not going to lose her job over this, whatever the other fallout in the rest of her life. And she really did go into that meeting and argued for her job as an MP. A very difficult thing to do, particularly when you would have a lot of people in the room saying, well, we felt let down by this. You know, this isn't what we expected when we selected you. So she did somehow manage, you could say, to talk her way out of it. I think people did come away with it with a sense that she was someone steely. She knew that in every sense, you know, she'd made mistakes along the way. But she's still there.
She wasn't deselected. Her own marriage survived, and she went on to win her seat. Under David Cameron, she was quickly promoted. She was useful in a sea of public school-educated male MPs. In 2014, she became Environment Secretary and the youngest woman ever to hold a cabinet position. At the Tory conference, she entertained the party faithful.
We import 2/3 of our cheese. That is a disgrace.
And was mocked by the satirists.
And if you're wondering what Liz Truss is up to in December, let's have a look.
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
Anne McElvoy again.
I would say she's unlikely to carry off the Oscar for the most naturally and fizzily delivered script. She is still a bit wooden.
It didn't hinder her ascent. She was promoted again to Justice Secretary and Lord Chancellor last year. She doesn't have a legal background. Her appointment caused dismay among some colleagues. Justice Minister Lord Faulks, a QC, resigned, quoted as saying,
"Is she going to have the clout to be able to stand up to the Prime Minister when necessary on behalf of the judge? Is she going to be able to stand up come the moment to the Prime Minister for the rule of law and for the judiciary without fear of damaging her career? It's a big ask."
And she faced criticism when she failed to immediately defend senior judges who ruled that Brexit couldn't be triggered without a parliamentary vote and who were then labelled enemies of the people by the Daily Mail. From within her party, former Minister Anna Soubry tweeted,
Lord Chancellor has a duty to condemn the vilification, including a homophobic attack of our judiciary.
And more predictably, from a former Labour Lord Chancellor, Lord Faulkner.
She is failing miserably to defend the rule of law. She at no stage stepped up to the plate and said all of these attacks are wrong, the judges are just doing their job. And she politically thought the right thing was there should be criticism of the judges because that helped the government in their attempt to get a quick parliament-free Brexit. And that was a fundamental dereliction of her duty.
But her friend Alan Rennick says she is an easy target.
She is young, she's a woman, she's from the north, she's got a bit of an accent, she is from a comprehensive school background. You know, these are not features of classic Tory grandees. And I think it is still the case that people who don't fit the mould struggle. So it is partly simply prejudice that leads to criticism of her.
Icy chilliness, tough, ambitious, bullish, not a barrel of laughs, you might think. Here's Anne McElvoy.
I would say Liz Truss is more of a chortle than a belly laugh, but she does like a party. She does like to go out and have a drink, and that slightly chilly exterior, which I think a lot of people in the party find a little bit off-putting, does disappear. And I think what's going to be a big challenge for her, and a lot of women who have fought their way to the higher levels quickly have this. They probably had to do it by being tough.
She has two children and they enjoy a good old sing-along. You put the boom boom into my heart.
You send my soul sky high when you love him. When I go to her house, her children got the karaoke machine out and I know Liz is a big George Michael fan and I think Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Have you heard her do it?
Yes, I have, yeah.
What's her voice like?
I think she thinks it's like Debbie Harry.
Liz Truss may have had a few hiccups, but she's had notable success too, squeezing more money from the Treasury, being the first female Lord Chancellor ever. I mean, in 1,000 years. She's been touted as the new Margaret Thatcher. So could she make it to the top? Her friend Alan Rennick.
Well, she does have a lot of enemies these days. You know, a lot of people in the party, in the press, do express rather negative views of her. So whether it's going to be possible for her to overcome that, I don't know. I think it will be difficult.
Those enemies will be watching closely as Liz Truss faces her biggest test, the prison crisis. But if her past is anything to go by, an obstacle in her way is unlikely to stop her.
Liz is a person who likes being in power. She likes being able to do things. She likes being able to achieve things. She doesn't want to be on the sidelines. She would be very happy if she had an opportunity to do it from number 10.
Would you like her to be Prime Minister?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Really? Just go round to parties at number 10?
Absolutely, if she's any good, yeah.
Profile was presented by Becky Milligan. The producer was Smita Patel, and research was by Beth Sagar-Fenton.